Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are almost halfway through the month of October. It is the 12th.
No, it's November.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're almost halfway through the month of November.
You're going to shake the world.
Time is flying.
Giving the wrong date on DH Unplugged will like tilt the earth on a weird axis.
You know, a gag I've always wanted to do.
What's that?
So I have a house that if you drive down the freeway, you can actually see it. It's on the side of a hill. Mm-hmm. And you can see the house. It's very distinctive. And it's got a gable area just above the bedrooms that you can – it's very visible. And I was always wanted to put a clock up there because people could see the clock as they drove by. It would be doing everybody a favor. And then one time during the year, I would set the clock to the wrong time.
Just mess everybody up. You'll see like traffic jams and people stopping and knocking on your door. Then
I don't really – yeah, I don't think that would get that far, but I just thought it would be a funny idea.
Mm, lots to go on. Well, hopefully this microphone is going to record well. I did some testing on it earlier today. So hopefully we'll have a good sound, nice bass tones, and not too muddy. We'll see how it goes. It was highly recommended by Mr. I think Curry has the same E320. That's the one he told me to buy.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have the 20.
Yeah, I know. He has a 320. Oh. The 20 is more is the classic,
it is
older
classic
version.
And then the SMB 58 or whatever it is from Shure?
It's a 7, the SM7 or something like that. The studio mic, the big one.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who uses that mic.
No? Supposedly it was the classic voice podcast microphone.
Since when?
I don't know. That's what, you know, you do your reading. It's the classic.
I've never seen anyone use it.
No?
People use the 320, the 20. They use the Heil. They use.
And what are you using?
They use a Rode.
What are you using?
I use a Heil PR40.
Right. That's what I was using for a long time. Yeah. But every couple of years, I feel like, you know what? I want to get a new microphone.
Yeah, I change mics too.
You know? So we'll see how this goes. Let's talk about the markets. Yes, we have new highs again. Last week we hit new highs.
Never ends.
Matter of fact,
got to correct pretty soon.
Today we had a new high today, as a matter of fact, too, hitting 3,100 on the S&P 500. Pretty amazing. But, you know, it's interesting. I said this today. I said, you know, the markets can't seem to even stay down when they're down. Last Friday, the markets were down all day. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the day, it was like, I think it was 3:45, there was this magical thrust and markets ended up the day higher. I was like, what happened? It was down the entire day, looked like it was going lower. And then all of a sudden this major like batch of money came into the markets just to push it higher. I guess because of, you know, all this tariff shenanigans and all that. And that was interesting last week too, by the way. We had on Thursday night, overnight, China says, we're really close to a deal and we have an agreement that there's going to be some rollbacks of tariffs inside of phase one. And that, you know, we're going to have some of the tariff relief. And on top of that, no new tariffs on the December 15th increase. Okay. Everybody's like, okay, that's interesting. And then the U.S. confirms it. And then one day later, Trump's like, oh, no, I don't think we're doing that. It's amazing whether or not they don't have their stories together and don't have them straight, or this is part of the plan.
I think it's got to be part of the plan at this point.
And what's the end game on this back and forth? We're doing it. We're not doing it. I mean, what's the end game?
The end game is to keep the market propped up, which there seems to be working.
So you say we're going to do it. Markets go up. Then you say we're not going to do it. Shorts are like, okay, they get in there. And then you say, hey, you know what? We're going to do it. So the shorts freak out. They squeeze out. And it just moves it up even higher.
Yeah, could be.
We're going to be
whatever it is, it's working.
Yeah, it is. We're going to be announcing the winner of the Microsoft Close to the Pin this week as well. And we're going to have an answer to last week's brain teaser and a new one. And a little discussion on WeWork. It seems that WeWork may be going pink.
You mean to the pinks?
Nope, it's going pink. As in, they're seemingly tapping John Laguerre from T-Mobile to be the front man, the CEO of WeWork, which is bizarre.
And the thinking is?
I guess they want to have a well-known and not such a, well, I guess they're looking for somebody who's not a standard CEO, because John Laguerre is not a standard CEO of a company. He's a pretty wild guy. And obviously you need to have hair that's below your shoulders to be in charge of this company, you know? I don't know. But
Does Laguerre have long hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's pretty long.
I did know that now that I think about it.
Yeah. And then what's also interesting is SoftBank owns Sprint. Sprint is doing a merger with T-Mobile, which is going to require a lot of work by the CEO. And how is he going to then have time? Why would you, first of all, pull him off of that deal to put him on the WeWork deal? The whole thing is very confusing. Mm. Unless they're just looking to get some kind of better news than what's been going on. Because they're selling off all their assets. They're selling off the things they bought, like Meetup and a couple of these other technology companies they bought. Shutting down a bunch of secondary companies that they have. Crazy. Crazy.
Interesting.
Yep. So another big weekend, by the way. I told you about the karaoke 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
This weekend, I'm bringing in a private chef for my wife's birthday. 16 people. I'm the sous chef in this. We have 5 courses, wines to match. We have a welcome.
This guy doesn't have a restaurant to run?
It's a Saturday night. No, he doesn't. He's in a separate kind of, he's a private chef.
Ah.
So I'll let you know. I have all the wines. I had a couple guys and another chef help me pick out the wines to match each of the dishes. I got to send you the menu. Pretty good. You'll enjoy it.
Sure is dynamite.
Yep.
You know, I was on a plane once and I sat next to Sharon Stone's private chef.
Oh, how was that?
He's kind of a fat guy.
Well.
It was great. I had a long chat with him.
Did you learn something?
Found out a few things about Sharon Stone I didn't know. And I found out a few things about, you know, the private chef business.
Mm.
The kind of stuff he liked to cook. And yes, he had his own seasoning blend that he was trying to sell, which tastes a lot like, if anyone's up in the Pacific Northwest, there's one called Hometown. Tastes exactly like what this guy was doing. Maybe it was his.
You want me to tell you about one thing I'm going to be doing? So I'm going to start.
Stripping. Somebody's going to be it's a nude meal. It's in the dark.
In the dark. No, I'm going to be making. I made them already. I'm making a Kobe beef tallow, garlic and herb infused candle. That you put on the table. It's the size of a little.
Wait.
Yes.
You said candle?
Candle.
A garlic infused.
A Kobe beef tallow.
Kobe beef fat.
Fat.
Tallow candle.
Small candle.
With
garlic and sage, so and tarragon. Yeah. Now, each person gets an individual small candle, like, you know, the size of a teacup candle, tea candle. You get that. And
the ones, yeah, that the Catholics use.
Right. So just the little candle and the wax is sitting on your plate, and you light it, and we torch it a little bit to make it melt, and you dip your bread in it to start dinner. Delicious. Got to try it.
Okay.
You're a foodie.
Yeah, but I don't take it that seriously.
It's going to be fun. Nice presentation. Anyway, let's get back to the markets.
I just imagine you got the thing burning in there, and then somebody dips their bread into the thing, and then as they pull it out, the flame catches the bread on fire. Oh. They shake it. Oh, my God, my thing's on fire. And they splatter grease all over everybody. It's all in flames. A couple of polyester dresses go up. Everyone jumps up. The table goes over the burning tallow, and the whole place burns to the ground.
Yep. It was the damn tallow candles.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm envisioning.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take pictures if that does happen. I'll take video if that happens.
Yes, please.
All right. So this 3,100 level for the S&P 500 seemed to be a magic magnet. So there's something in the technical analysis world called magnets, which is a psychological level that kind of the price of something will go to, whether it's on the downside or upside. And it was inevitable, it seemed, when we got close to it, that market participants were like, you know, we got to get to that 3,100 level. It could have been because of, you know, outstanding bets with options. It could have been just because, hey, let's just get it there. And if it goes through there, there could be more stops. And then what will happen is more buying will then happen because shorts will be squeezed and, you know, all the same nonsense that we know about. Well, we did hit that 3,100, went to about 3,102 today, and then markets backed off like almost as if on a perfect schedule that, you know what? Somebody said, let's get the markets up to 3,100. Let's see if we can do this. And then, you know what? That's the level we're going to finally start selling. Markets came down into the red, finished up a little bit into the green by the end of the day, and the futures are down a bit overnight. But kind of an interesting process right now ahead of tomorrow's speech by Fed Chief Chairman Powell. He's going to be talking about a couple things tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. He's talking tomorrow.
So the stimulus keeps on pouring on. I mean, essentially what's happening right now is that we have an easy money. It's just all about easy money. You know, we have central bank after central bank around the world simply just pouring on the gas, saying that, you know what, didn't seem to hurt anything before. We don't have any inflation. We're not worried about any of this. And continuing to say, you know what, if the economy goes down, even though we know it doesn't work, we're going to add more stimulus to the pile. That's kind of what I'm reading right now.
Yeah, it's what it looks like. It's not going to be pretty when this thing turns around.
And as we keep on pouring on stimulus, we keep on seeing that China's, Japan's, and European economic numbers continue to slide. There has been no break in any of this.
Yeah, we're the only ones that seem to know how to do this right.
Yeah.
But that's been true for decades.
It's decades. I mean, that's why every market is very, every economy and stock market around the world just mirrors ours, unless something goes really wrong.
Yes, this is true.
Now, the big news of this week, I don't know about you, but I haven't been so excited about this since the OJ trials. The impeachment show starts this week.
Are they going to feature the dancing Itos?
I don't know, but this is, how exciting is this? Did you watch the OJ trials?
Yeah, I did.
That was great, right? What are you doing tonight?
That was pretty boring. I mean, it was okay with the sideshows and stuff that went on, but yeah, you know, this is not going to be that much more interesting. It will be interesting enough. I'm sure I'll get a few interesting. I'm saying that to an extreme. I'll get a few good clips for the No Agenda show. I'm sure.
Oh, you'll get a host of them.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good one from AOC. I'm sure.
She's always good for a laugh. Yes.
Yeah. I told you about the trade war update. Confirmed and then pulled back and then talking about today again about, you know, we're really wanting to do a deal. They want to do a deal more than we want to do a deal. Then they march out Larry Kudlow saying that everything is going along swimmingly. Not sure when things are going to happen. They're not going to do a deal.
Unless you just
really
get a puppet.
It's what it is. What do you mean? It's a Larry Kudlow puppet.
Yeah. He looks like a puppet if you think about it.
Yeah. And so all he does is just they march him out. We have some conflicting data. This I thought was kind of interesting. The IHS Market Global Business Outlook. And it surveys about 12,000 companies three times a year. And it fell to its worst level since 2009. Now, mind you, realize this is a global outlook. So it's also considering companies outside of the U.S. So I would say that there's a host of companies that were outside the U.S. that probably weighted this down pretty significantly. The IFO World Economic Outlook, which surveys 12,030 people in 117 countries, fell to its fourth quarter to the worst level since the second quarter of 2009. That was in the fourth quarter, so I'm gonna discount that one. There was some optimism in the survey. Employment and profits in the year ahead were all at the lowest level, but people thought that investment spending and inflation is at a three-year low, and so there's going to be, you know, going to be something. But check out this IFO survey. There's a chart here on episode number.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's interesting. But it's, you know, it still was in a range. You know, it doesn't concern me too much.
Right. It's in that, still in that 2015, 16 belly, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it only goes back to 2010. So it doesn't really tell us when hard times really strike, what this thing looks like.
Yeah, I need a bigger, I need more data than this.
Yep, that's all you got. That's all they have. So moving along. Apple. A couple of pieces of news on Apple. They're planning on releasing an augmented reality headset in 2022 and augmented reality glasses in 2023. Now, didn't Snapchat try to put out these augmented reality glasses twice and failed? And isn't...
No, they put out camera glasses or film glasses.
Oh, yeah, that's
they
good.
Weren't
that's
augmented
right.
reality.
So who else is putting out this augmented reality? Is it Facebook? With their Oculus system, right?
Yeah.
And that's how's that doing?
I think it's half dead.
So...
I don't know that it's doing bad, but I don't know that it's doing well. I have no idea.
Didn't Google put out Google Glasses?
Well, Google Glass was mostly, it wasn't augmented reality. It was a data service. It was like you get data on your glasses inside the glasses, and you can also film stuff.
But wasn't it also that if you were walking down the street, you can possibly look at a particular restaurant and get the rating on it or whatever? That's augmented reality.
I think that was all the idealistic part of it that never, I don't think anyone's ever actually accomplished it. I mean, there's that film that came out, that joke film where the guy's, you know, dating some girl and everything is the glasses are telling him what to do, what to order, what to say, what to think, which is 2 or 3 years ago. Very funny video.
Well, what do you think about this whole augmented reality thing? Is it all about the idea of figuring out another way to shove in more advertising into our brains?
Well, that it may actually be what it's for. I don't know. It's just something I'm not interested in. Not so far as talking about it, but I'm not interested in buying it or walking around with augmented reality glasses and seeing things that aren't there. It's just, I don't know why, but it doesn't seem, I don't care. I mean, I'll look, if I want to know something about something, I'll look it up.
Speaking about technology, you haven't been to CES for a few years, right?
Right.
Do you want to meet there this year? I'll meet you there.
Why?
Because it'll be fun. It'd be interesting to find new technology, new investment ideas, see what's happening, get up-to-date information on whatever's going on.
Yeah, it's a thought.
So January 5th through 10th? 8th?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm thinking about going. So if you would like to go, that would be fun.
Thinking of going, maybe we should go together.
Yeah. More on Apple. The New York Department of Financial Services is launching. This is a great story because it came out in two pieces of story. They're launching an investigation into Goldman Sachs credit card practices after a tech entrepreneur, hold that, tech entrepreneur, accused the bank's Apple credit card algorithm of discriminating against women when determining credit card limits. So from there, there was this tweet. And the tweet said it gained some traction and it received a comment from co-founder Steve Wozniak. So at first they didn't talk about who it was, but it was the guy... The first tech guy was the inventor of Ruby on Rails.
Okay.
And then Steve Wozniak pipes in.
Wozniak probably follows that guy.
He alleged that the Apple card gave him 10 times the credit that it gave his wife.
Huh.
So the Department of Financial Services is troubled to learn of potential discriminatory treatment in regards to credit limit decisions reportedly made by an algorithm. See, that's the nice thing.
It's Goldman Sachs' algorithm. Yeah, Apple's got nothing to do with this.
You blame it on an algorithm. Just blame it on an algorithm. The algorithm didn't, blah, 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 you know? Versus,
we didn't do this.
No, we didn't purposely do this. There must be something wrong with the algorithm calculation. Just blame it on the calculation. So they're going to go and try to look at each and every credit score and limit and do it personally by hand now.
Oh, bull crap.
Yeah. I guess this is possible. I think it's possible this happened, that there is a...
No, it's not. No, I'm saying it's not possible to do it all by hand.
Right. So what I think may be going on here, or I think both of them have something similar in their setup. I think both of them, the husband, I think the wives didn't work, maybe, and the husbands were working, making the income, but yet they were on the joint return.
Yeah, as far as I know, Wozniak does not work.
But he probably still gets income.
I don't know about that.
He doesn't need to work. We know that.
Yep. His income probably comes from dividends and things of that nature, right, which would be shared with his wife, because they're in California. It's a joint, you know, they're joint. They filed jointly.
Right.
So his wife would have the same numbers.
Well, something's awry in the issue here. So we have some Twitter spies, two former employees of Twitter and a third man from Saudi Arabia face U.S. charges of spying for the kingdom by digging up private user data and giving it to Saudi officials in exchange for payment, according to a complaint filed on Wednesday. And Twitter did not do well on that notice.
Yeah.
I've noticed, remember we saw this once before, out of nowhere, a massive amount of ads are once again in my Twitter feed. So I don't know if after they had such a horrible quarter and the stock, you know, caved in, that they said, you know what, maybe we need to go out again and get all these, you know, these deals together, maybe at a cut rate to, I don't know. But something's definitely different on my Twitter feed.
Interesting. Yep. It's still the same. Oh. Although I've noticed that I bitch about it when I catch it. I can go out and catch this constantly if I wanted to. A lot of people I'm supposed to follow, they never show up in my feed.
I have people that I don't follow in my feed.
Yeah, I have that once in a while. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And that makes no sense to me. If Adam Curry, for example, and I know they're not blocking me or anything. I can tell. And you can always look it up. About one out of five tweets of his never get into my feed.
That's weird. Is it possible you just missed it?
They can't handle the load. I don't think they can. I don't think anybody's getting their real feed.
Doesn't seem like such a hard thing to do. But, we talked about John Legere. Okay. Sears. Sears told Reuters on Thursday it won a $250 million lifeline from lenders that include billionaire owner Eddie Lampert and will close additional stores as mounting losses strain the beleaguered U.S. department chain's finances. My question is not about, who's giving them the $250 million? Why are they staying in business? I mean,
that's a great question. I don't use that term lightly.
I mean, I don't understand why this company.
I don't either. Which not is you mention it.
Losing money. They just don't just call it a day already. I think it has to do with Eddie Lampert and the way that he run this company and his essentially milking it for everything that's there. I mean, he's putting money in himself too, or he's putting money in. I don't know. Maybe this is like his sport. What would he do if he doesn't do this?
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I haven't even stepped foot in a Sears for such a long time. I mean, it was a good store 10, 15 years ago.
But for the
when they still made Kenmore and they still had Craftsman. They had good brands.
Yeah, but the last however many years, you know what? The next time you just have a little bit of extra time on your hand and you happen to be passing by a Sears, I suggest you just stop in and you'll be horrified.
And they had the Die Hard battery. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's where you went to get your wheels changed, your tires changed.
Yeah.
You got all that stuff done. Then you go in and shop a little bit.
Buy a dishwasher.
Yep, but none of that stuff anymore. Yep.
Very strange.
Yep. We have a small fish eating a big fish. Xerox is planning to make a cash and stock offer for the personal computer and printer maker HP. Now, what's interesting about this is, I mean, they have similar businesses. Xerox has a market cap of $8 billion. HP has a market cap of $27 billion.
That's the way to go.
So it's going to be a cash and stock deal. So that means they need to come up with another $19 billion, at least if they're going to do this buyout. I mean, that's without an extra spiff on the deal.
Yeah. There's going to be some great creative accounting going on, I have to say.
Now, supposedly they're going to be able to save about $2 billion in expenses, which I can see a very significant amount of expense cutting in this deal. Now they'll just have, you know, one printer unit, one printer division. Take out some of the printers that aren't selling as much. But it seems like this should be the reverse. I don't know how this works. I don't know if it's going to happen. In other strange news, we have Michael Bloomberg entering the presidential primary in the race. And everybody's all in a flutter about this. Democrats are all about, we don't need another billionaire business guy from New York entering the race. We're trying to get rid of the billionaires. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't think Bloomberg, I wouldn't say travels well, but I just don't think the general public thinks much of that guy. He's very glib. He's a hard ass. He tries to make people so they won't drink Coca-Cola. I mean, he's like a Nazi. And anyone would want the guy.
I forgot about that. He banned what? Large
sodas.
Large sodas in New York. That was funny.
It was funny, that's for sure. But
he's entering the presidential race and is going to throw I don't know how this is going to work and what it's going to do. But I think the Democrats were pretty much asking for this after they were attacking. I mean, they've been on nonstop attack of the billionaires and of the one percenters and the rich guys and all this. And I think they were between the billionaire crying last week on CNBC and, you know, pissing off the rest of the billionaires, which, you know, so they put in, if they're a billionaire, they put in $50 million into an election. How much does it cost for an election? I mean, how much do you need to put up?
About a billion.
You need to put a billion up?
But nowadays, yeah, if you're running for president.
Wow. Whew.
Yeah. So,
wow. Well, you put up.
I mean, Trump got away with a cheaper. I mean, he didn't spend half of what Hillary did in the last election. He beat her, but that's can be accounted for if you count all the free publicity he got from the networks. And that was some people thought was worth $3 billion. So. I think she spent $1.1, $1.2, something like that. And I think Obama before her spent a lot of money, over $1 billion. I don't know these numbers exact, but it is $1 billion. That's the current number.
Well, follow up on your Walgreens stock. KKR, a private equity firm, formally approaches Walgreens for a go private deal. And I was wondering, with all of the stock buybacks that we've had lately and all of what's happening with the markets, are we going to see more of this?
Privatization?
Yeah, privatization.
Like, it's not really privatization. It's called going private.
Yes, it's privatization. Well, it's privatization, same thing. Well,
privatization, I think refers to governments.
Yeah, it's off of the public markets.
I don't know. What do you think? I have no idea. I mean, there's a lot of big companies that do very well off the public markets. I can mention a couple. Koch Brothers, the Koch Industries. Cargill is a good one. There's a bunch of them. The Hearst Corporation is private.
Well, they do that so they don't have to deal with the scrutiny and the expense and the...
Yeah, they can think long term and they can do better.
Right. And then they eventually probably come back to the market. They can leverage up. They can do all sorts of things and take a longer term view of things because they're not on a quarter by quarter. That's
kind of what Dell did. That was right. Dell's idea.
Right. They were having problems. They need to get out of the... They need to get out of the spotlight. They were having problems back then. That's why they did it. And then they're going to, you know, come back. And then they eventually will come back to the market and, you know, hopefully a leaner, meaner, and a much higher valued company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Singles Day.
The CEO founder being worth even more money. Yeah, can never spend it in his lifetime. Right.
So do you know this Alibaba's Single Day? Do you know why it's called Singles Day?
I have no idea.
I thought it was because, well, maybe it is. It was because originally with Alibaba, you could only buy like mass quantities. And it was only for like big companies to buy. If you want to buy a patio furniture set, you had to be, you know, 50 of them.
Yeah, you could still ask for samples though. And those are singles.
But I don't think originally it was set up this way. And so they created a more retail friendly, I believe that's what it was. It was a retail friendly type of situation where you could buy one-offs. So it's also on 11/11 each year, November 11th, which is 1/1/11. So yeah. I think that came after the
Armistice fact. Day.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that when we take the ribbon and tie it around the maypole?
No, that's something else. This is when you wear a poppy.
You wear a poppy?
Yeah, a little red poppy. You don't know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Huh.
What like a poppy, a poppy flower?
A membrance poppy, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a real one. It's made out of plastic and they sell them. You can still get them around the South. They still sell them. They have them in Canada. It's a big deal in Europe.
Hmm.
They used to be all across the country in the United States. And when I was a kid, I remember it. There was a nickel or a quarter. I forgot what they cost. They were cheap. And you'd buy these poppies. They were at the counter. They're like point of purchase, point of sale, right at the front. They're point of purchase, right in front. The front of the checkout line in a grocery store. You'd buy these poppies and put a quarter in a little bin there or whatever it cost. And then you wear the poppy for that day. And everyone wore poppies.
And that was a sign of like, I voted, or it's just a remembrance of what's the point of Armistice Day?
It was celebration of the end of World War I and all the dead.
Hmm.
Became Veterans Day.
Ah, which is the 12th.
But the poppy thing never left. Well, and in Canada, they celebrate it as Remembrance Day.
Mm.
And I think that's what they celebrate, how they celebrate it in the UK too. Mm. But it's all the poppy thing is a big deal, except it hasn't been a big deal in the United States, except in certain states for probably 30 years.
Well, it's Singles Day in China and, well, around the world. China's Alibaba and JD.com reported booming Singles Day sales, the highest ever recorded. As a matter of fact, the daily count, I think it was $38 billion, was recorded in sales and total revenue for Alibaba. That was more, I think that's more than
what?
Amazon. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than Amazon does in a month. Amazon, let's see. Alibaba Singles Day revenue. Checking. Over 30 billion. Let's see if this is new. 30 billion. Yep.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. Singles Day shopping blitz. Across a $30 billion mark at 4:31 p.m. So it still was going on. Let's see. It's 30 billion. 38 billion. So yeah, they broke a record. 38 billion. That was right. That was right. No,
I in that one right. Over a 24-hour period.
Correct. How you like that?
Well, that prop up a few countries' economies.
I really do think that was more. The country's biggest e-commerce going to retop last year's record. 16 and a half hours in before it totaled 38 billion by the end of the day. Yep. Mm-hmm. Largest shopping day in history. Dwarfs Amazon's biggest day. Alibaba is in the revenue terms. Yeah, this is what this is here. This is on 2000. This is last year. But, okay, the figure is Amazon's Prime Day, the biggest retailer, is estimated to be about $4
billion. Wow.
So, yep. A lot more people to be buying from it. I don't know if you heard this, but Juul was, I think they took off their mint flavoring, kind of like the menthol, which was their biggest selling product.
Sure. Menthol's always been known to be a good combination with tobacco because it makes people more addicted than they would normally be.
Oh, so you got like two things going on. You got the nicotine and the mint?
Well, the menthol is not menthol, I think, is what we're talking about in reality. Menthol was not addictive in itself, but apparently in combination with tobacco, it created a stronger addiction. This is what I was told years ago by some cigarette guy.
Hmm. Well, they're going to be cutting, they're going to be taking plans to cut $1 billion in spending next year as it braces for a hit in sales after voluntarily stopping the sale of its most popular flavor in the U.S. cutting 16% of its workforce. And this is after already a significant cut and taking, lowering their revenue. So did we talk about this? I don't know if we talked about this or somebody else talked about this with me. This could be if you step back, this could be a bigger plan at play.
This is what we talk about in the No Agenda show. Adam has deconstructed this to an extreme.
So then let me just guess. He believes that this is the tobacco company's plan to actually make this thing go, buy up the companies, and then crush them.
Yeah. But that's solely to move to these vaporized tobacco smoke. It's a different, slightly different product. I can never remember the name of it, but it's the one they're going to push. And yeah, they buy them up to snuff them out.
I believe that. I do.
It's pretty gutsy.
This is a time of the show where we mention and we ask and we suggest and we tell and we, bring it to your attention that, this is it's all fun and we provide a lot of information, a lot of fun, games and all that. But yet at the same time, your participation is an essential part of the process. And how you do that is by going and finding that yellow button that says donate on it over on dhunplugged.com and give what you can. It's $25, $50. You want to do $12 a week or something else of your favorite number. Maybe you want to do $111.11 and for Armistice and Singles Day, whatever it is. We really appreciate it. Really helps out the cause, defrays the cost of what we're doing, because you know what? Otherwise, it's coming out of our pocket. And we thought we'd share the fun. We'd share the expense. And your help is not only needed, but recommended, suggested. And I think it will help you with your overall being long term.
Actually, that's probably true.
I think it is.
No, they've done studies on it.
Yeah.
Not about our show, but just people who are... charitable.
Who give back.
Yeah, they have a brain works better.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. So we do have also a part of the thing is we obviously have t-shirts and trophies and stuff for the, we have to talk about that in a second, but we do have a winner of the close to the pin.
Somehow I missed the boat on this thing.
I emailed you. I can't, I just can't hawk you. But yes, you missed it. You would have been spot on.
I would have nailed it.
I think you would have. So we do have a winner. This is Microsoft. Now, first of all, Microsoft came in and closed the contest at $145.96. The average price of all the entries of all the people was $142.71. My guess was $143. I was 2% off. Steve B. came in 33 cents away.
Steve B. is Ballmer.
Yeah. Oh, good point. He knew. Came in 0.23% away from the actual. Jim B. came in at 145.50, 46 cents away, 32 basis points, or 0.32% away. So good job. We sent Steve a t-shirt, a large, which we just got an order of. So just in time for that.
We got some new ones in.
I do want to discuss this. We talked about this briefly, but at the end of the year, so for those of you that don't know, at the end of the year, we have a CTP or close to the pin cup. And what that does is traditionally what we've done is any of the winners from that particular year are eligible to play. And we usually take the Dow Jones Industrial Average and have it on the price close at the end of the year. And whoever wins is announced the winner for that CTP cup. And you get shirts and you get a big trophy and engraved and all this great stuff. We talked about this year possibly including all the past winners. Now, are we going to include all the past winners of the CTP cup or all the past winners of each CTP throughout the number of years?
Well, I think there should be two categories.
I can't technologically do this possibly. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can.
Oh.
The way I see it is because we normally we have the winners for that year, the 12 winners 12 winners come in and they go for the cup.
Okay.
Now, if we're going to add all the winners way back, which is years and years of winners, then it's unfair to these 12 because we haven't done that before.
I agree.
So I'm thinking having two separate categories, the current winners, and that's for the big cup, and then all the winners in the past for some secondary award. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it, but I just don't know how I'm going to do it.
Okay, well, let's think about it then.
Yeah, because the problem is that they're all registered on the site, and it's hard to open it up just for those players as it is.
Why don't we just do this year's and we'll worry about it next year. Okay.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So if you won a Close to the Pin this year in 2019, you'll be shortly receiving an email, and we'll have it. So it probably just be coming actually next week or so, that you're eligible for the Dow Jones Industrial Average Close to the Pin Cup for 2019, end of year. And make sure to get your price guess in, and we'll go from there. There you go. Now, you sent me a great text. You don't text me that often, but when you do, it's something worthy of discussing. And you first of all, aside from the fact there was some funny overlays in the particular text you sent me, there is an actual mural on the side of a building with Greta Thunberg in San Francisco.
Giant head of Greta Thunberg, who a lot of people say looks like Putin in that mural.
Right. What's the story with this? Is this now, this is going to be this is like the rallying call for global warming and climate change, and this is the face of it? Is that what they're doing?
I guess so, yeah. Even though she's never been to San Francisco that I know of. It's an eyesore.
Who put this up? Reality. Who actually did this?
He's not a graffiti artist, but he's a muralist, a famous one. I can't remember his name. He does have a slightly Russian accent, which makes me wonder. But he apparently, somebody's contributed the paints, and he's doing it pro bono, which I really doubt, because he makes a lot of money doing these things. It's just, random environmentalists, I guess, and somehow he got wrangled into this thing. It's very, very striking.
And is this in an area of San Francisco?
Downtown, right in the middle of right in the downtown area.
But is this an area that has other murals? It's kind of a part of
not that I know of.
Ah, so it's a real eyesore.
Yeah, it's standing right up there. Huh. Yeah, it's almost like it'll be a tourist trap for a while.
Yeah. We should get a booth with like gas masks and all sorts of...
I'm waiting for somebody to smudge it, to draw a Groucho Marx mustache on it or something at 3 a.m.
Easy enough to do. Disney Plus is open for business as of today, $7 a month. They're hoping to gain about 60 to 90 million customers in 5 years. And they tweeted already today that, the demand has been so great. It has exceeded our expectations. It's exceeded our highest expectations. And we're working on resolve the technical issues that many of you are having.
Yeah, of course. So I had predicted this over and over again because they don't know what they're doing.
Right. You said that. You said that this is a company that could have bought another product from another company or bought another company that was already in the streaming business. But no, they decided to do it on their own. They don't have the technology infrastructure to actually make this work. And it's going to be a disaster.
That's what my thinking was, yes. Yeah.
Well, you are coming true on that one. So they didn't expect the exceed its highest expectations.
Well, if you want to see somebody that's really incompetent at streaming, find one of get a Comcast account and use their online. They have an online streaming system, Comcast, through Roku, and I think it's on WebOS. You can find it. And you click the button, Roku for sure. You click the button on that thing. Oh, my God.
What happens?
Well, if it doesn't crash and take your whole system down, which it does most of the time, it takes pretty much like 10, 15 minutes to load a show. Oh. It's horrible.
Yeah.
There's nothing as bad as this thing. And I don't know what the point of it is. Are they just trying to irk people? I mean, is it a joke? I'm not sure. It makes no sense to me.
You know, there's more about this whole streaming thing that this, I mean, just all these companies are so excited about the streaming. NBC is coming out with their Peacock streaming service.
It's a very expensive proposition.
But here's what, this really pisses me off. NBC is going to come out with their Peacock streaming service. Said to be, possibly they're going to make it free. Advertiser supported. Now, tell me something. How is that different from regular TV? Except for the fact that somehow they're going to make it that you can't fast forward through the commercials.
Yeah, that's what they do. The difference is the way they deliver the ads. I mean, usually what they do is they stop everything. They stop the stream of programming, and then they run a bunch of ads as separate streams that you can't do anything. You can't fast forward. You can't stop. You can't do anything. You're right. And then they say your program will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, click, and goes right back to the program. And then they have the interruption points are not the normal ones that you'd find on a half hour clock where they have, you know, you're going to take a commercial right here. So we lead into the commercial with a, you know, and then what happened, Bill? Well, boom, cut to the commercial. Now they just kind of popped in there randomly sometimes. It's just a joke. It's ludicrous.
It looks to me like all these companies are running scared, that they're all concerned that, you know, there's going to be, you know, this big cord cutting, and they need to be in on the action on the streaming. They need to have their own platform. God forbid they're involved with somebody else, and everybody, every man for themselves, every woman for themselves, you know, every streaming service for themselves. And they're just running so scared that it's obvious.
I know that's what let the genius of Netflix. For one thing, people have to realize they have these appliances, Netflix appliances. There's only two appliances I know of currently. Maybe there's a more because I my information is probably a few years old. But these appliances, Google has one for YouTube. These appliances are loaded to the gills. I think every so often they do a massive download through the very high speed cable, optical. And they download the top 1,000 movies that people are streaming on Netflix, and the various appliances which are hooked right to the head end of your ISP, so they're right nearby. So the appliance is feeding the information, the content through the content server, which is the appliance. It's a very short distance from you to the place, and it's only the local. You know, if you get a congestion issue, it's only local. If it even happens at all, because things are spread out pretty nicely. If you don't have an appliance like that, then you have to go like Vudu, for example. So you have to go way out to wherever the damn servers are, and then you got to go come all the way back like miles and miles, and it can be congested on the way or the way there and back. And that's what Disney's got. And so it's just like old-fashioned. There are ways to speed things up, yes, and Comcast does that in a number of ways. But generally speaking, this is not a trivial thing to do. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's not difficult to do at small levels like a podcast or audio thing, but it's very difficult to do with millions and millions of people want to download the latest movie that you just released 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I can see that. And that's possibly what happened with Disney. They weren't set. They weren't ready to go.
Well, they thought they were.
Yeah, they thought they were. But they need to let it soak in a little bit.
I think
more.
It's going to take a long time before that service gets straightened out. Yeah. A lot of refunds.
Yeah, I agree. Boeing lift the Dow Jones Industrial Average Monday. They expect their 737 MAX to resume commercial service in January, but deliveries could resume in December. Stock was up like 14 points, and that is equal to about 7 points for every point on approximately, it's a little bit less, but seven, if you use seven, every point of every stock in the Dow Jones Industrial Average is equivalent to about 7 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Huh.
So Boeing being a $350 stock moves up 13 bucks. And right there, you got 100 bucks, 100 points on the, or 95 on the Dow. So it's very, I would say the Dow right now is much more irrelevant than it's ever been. It is essentially playing Boeing, United Health, and those are the two that are the biggest prices, and 3M. And those things move on a percentage basis, but their point value is significantly pushing around the Dow Jones.
Yeah, the Dow Jones seems to be arcane.
Totally arcane. Totally.
Yeah.
But people follow it because they just can't get rid of it. All right, it's time for the brain tease, and this is last week's first. We had a harder one. John scored this a B- on a difficulty score, but said it could be figured out. If you were thinking intuitively, it would be something that you could figure out. And the question was, you see a boat filled with people. It is not capsized. But when you look again, you don't see a single person on the boat. Why? Now, did you figure this out?
Yeah. This is one of those brain teasers that usually relies on trick usage, trick English usage.
Right.
So the words mean two things, and you have to use the alternative definition to get the thing to work. And in this case, the word we're dealing with is single. When you say a single person, it's in this case, it means they're married. They're not married. So you don't see a single person on the boat. They're all married.
Yep.
So that's just a, you know, I might even downgrade it a little bit, but I'll give it a B- anyway. All right.
The next one is more of a, this week's is more of a thought process. It's a quick one. I think it's kind of hard because when I looked at it, I was like, I don't even know where to start. So here it is for this week. Coming up, the brain tease. What happened in 1961 that will not happen again for almost 4,000 years?
Yeah, I think I figured it out already.
Oh, well, don't say it.
But it's cute. But I can't give it higher than a B-.
B-. Seems that we're B-ing all over the place.
Yes, I really...
For the answer.
I'm still waiting for Tom. Tom. I get a little bit more, bring that up a little bit. What else do we have to talk about here? Anything else in this segment? Nothing. Okay, then we'll go into this.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So we only had one thing. Take this list. We only had one thing that was kicked.
Yeah, there's only one thing kicked, and that was you're up almost 10%, but it got kicked. Roku, you shorted it. It was going well, and then it did a little humpty dump, and it kicked you off.
Yeah, it was down to close to about, I think it was 119. No, 116. It went down to 116 in the after its earnings came out, and then it just starts rising and rising. It's up another 5% today. Hmm.
And then the rest of them we have here is, let me get back to it. Sorry, I moved ahead. I'm going to sneeze is the problem. I'll probably sneeze right in the middle of this. Kinder Morgan is at the top, still up 4.8%. It was an insider thing, and it's looking good. Summit State Bank, which was descending triangles, up 8.21%. That's a kind of a penny stock.
That's a good one.
You know, it's up a dollar. Advanced Drainage, up 15%. Another one that's insiders, which is an obscure one to pick. Had to be insiders. Why would anyone pick it? And then you had a short for We Fail. It was part of your Colliers International group. You shorted that. And I think that's got some room to go.
Mm-hmm.
Navios Maritime has gone to dead money. And Facebook short, your Facebook short, which is always a loser.
But I got to tell you, this is after they came out with earnings and they did pop a little bit, but they came right back down. This loss that you see on this thing right now, about 2.5%, is all because of today. It was actually in the money. It went up, it went against me, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to go, it looks good. and then it started coming back. I still think it's pretty weak.
Okay. I admire your chutzpah. And then Schnitzer Steel, which is dead money. So I have two on here that are dead money. It's a down 0.32. Anything less than 1%, one way or the other, is just sitting there. And this was a stock chart pick. I thought Schnitzer was, and I still think so. It's going to just, it looks like it's moving slowly up, and it will start that process any minute. Anything for this week?
If I was to do anything, I'd have to short. You can't, I mean, it's a tough market to short into, but there's going to be a moment, and I would almost go right back to Roku again after it went down to 116, back up to one, today closed, where'd it close today? Must have closed at one, I can look that up. Roku. I think it closed at one, that didn't work. Roku. Closed at 135. Closed at 135 today. So close to this. I mean, I would do that possibly. Planet Fitness, I'd probably hit again. But I think I'm going to wait a
week. You know, I'm looking, I feel the same way you do. I think it's a market that there's got to be some good shorts out there because there's going to be a correction and it's going to make a lot of money for somebody over a few weeks. But I realize that in this game that we play, that my methodology for the game itself, specifically my two or three techniques, insiders, triangle down, and some stock, just some chart action, I realize that I don't have any real technique to spot a good short.
You gotta take your triangle descending and flip it.
Well, there is a triangle ascending thing, but I look at those and it just doesn't, they don't make sense to me.
Right.
I'm thinking that I probably need to find some mechanism because I just dawned on me because there's going to be the big shorts coming up one of the, you know, in the next couple of years. And I don't have any real solid, except, you know, oh, let's short Apple when, you know, I think when they start selling their stores off. But that's not anything that's technical.
Right.
I realize that I'm flat-footed here. I'm going to have to work on this.
That's a good point because your insiders, we talked about how selling does not necessarily matter when it comes to insiders.
Not at all.
So that's not that. The descending triangle, I agree with you to I agree with you to a degree here that the ascending triangle looks like it actually should be going up in theory, right?
Yeah.
So maybe break of a trend line. That's something, just a simple trend line break you could look for.
It's kind of that might work. I'm going to have to start looking at some more. There's a lot of these things, and I should probably try to find one that looks good. But I agree with you. I think right now is the time to find some funny shorts and then short them and then get out, you know, let what happens happen.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to pass this week, and then we'll see what happens next week with maybe I was wrong about Roku, but I'm going to take a pass this week.
Okay.
And you?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
No, because I want to short. I there's nothing.
You could short markets in general. You could short the small caps, the large caps. You could do a leverage short. You could short oil. I mean, you could short.
Yeah, I can short a lot of stuff, but I don't have any confidence. I don't want to just randomly short because I think it's because I feel like it. You know,
there's an old saying that you don't ever want to trade just because you want to trade.
Yeah.
That gets you into big trouble.
Yeah.
Sometimes the hardest thing to do is patience.
I mean, it's not like I'm throwing any money at these trades, but it's like, I don't want to look like an idiot.
Right. Well, we have money on these trades. You can see that when we disclose it. There's money either personally for me or for clients or for clients.
How's Netflix looking? I mean, that's always a good short. And Disney's affected them. I think people aren't going to pay much attention to this Disney crashes.
I had a person on my podcast this week that was adamant about shorting Disney.
He wanted to short Disney.
He's adamant about shorting Disney. On a one-year chart, Netflix looks like it is rising up again. Probably has until what price is that? 298. It's to 292 right now. Hit bottom at 265. Kind of started coming up, then back down.
I like
again.
The idea of shorting Disney. I think that's a great idea. I mean, I'm going to look at it some more, though. But it's one of those things like, you know, these guys have. I mean, I don't like Disney as necessarily as much of a company, and I don't like what they're doing, and I don't like some of the movie plays they've made, and I don't like their executive suite. I don't like this streaming service. There's a lot of things I don't like about Disney, but it's, I just can't bring myself to shorting them.
I get it. I understand. Makes sense. Well, we'll pick it up again next week. How's that sound?
That sounds good. We'll come up with something then.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on A Conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.